Good morning. Welcome to each one and greet you in Christ's name this morning. I'm glad the weather warmed up. Hopefully we all are glad to be alive this morning. I am. I like cold weather, but then I like it when it warms up even better, I guess. Enjoyed the service so far. Thank you for each one that shared and had taught classes and everything. I enjoyed the devotional this morning Kevin shared. Yeah, you probably thought it might have been a little random, but there was a lot of good nuggets in that. Did you think about how thoughtful your God was this morning? He didn't forget anything. You can just about not think of anything to improve on. Well, you can. I was just telling my wife this morning, you know, there's just, as I study the Word, there's just so much in there I don't understand. And to me, it's frustrating a little bit. You know, I wish I could understand it. What's this mean? What's that mean? How does this all work together? And I think God gives me understanding as I need it. I don't feel like I'm starving, but it's intriguing. And isn't that good though? I mean, if you could figure everything out in the Bible, I suppose it'd be a pretty shallow book. And the same with God. If you could figure Him out, what kind of a God would He be? So that's okay. And then the devotion of the Sunday school class, we studied about David and Goliath again, and we dug into it a little deeper this morning. Very encouraging. And it goes right along with what I want to talk about. I'm going to write a word on the board that's kind of the sum of what I want to talk about. Potential is the word. I don't even know if this word's found in the Bible at all. And that's the word. What was David's potential? What was Goliath's potential? What's the potentials of your problems and mountains in your life? Are they going to take you out or are you going to take them out? Potential is an interesting word. It means to have power. That's not being played out at current, okay? It's power that has not come into being. It's not been realized yet, or it's not been developed. You say your children, oh, they got potential. Well, they are not doing it yet, let me tell you. But they might, they will, they have potential. It's not been developed. The opposite of it is, it's kind of in potential, if it has an opposite, would be not actual yet. Not actual. It's not there yet. That would be the contrast of it. And as where I got to thinking about this word is because I was over there 2 weeks ago in Idaho, and Jeff Beiler from Tilly, he was talking about living up to... Well, if I had to put it in a nutshell, I guess it's living up to your potential as a Christian, as a child of God. And he went all over the Bible. He had a lot of really good encouragement for us. But he touched on Samson, and he says that's an illustration that we could look at if you want to look at a potential that never really got where it could have gone. Samson is a story of a man that he was a man of God and everything, but he didn't really, it seems like he got sidetracked by a few things. And I want to look at the life of Samson this morning. Before I turn there, I want to talk about, share a scripture from John, 1 John chapter 3. I actually wrote the verse down, talking about us, and this is how it applies to us. It says, Beloved, 1 John 3, verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is the potential that every one of us has, to be the sons of God and to be with Jesus one day. Therefore, let's purify ourselves. Is this your potential? Well, sure it is, because you're a human. God made you in His image, and He wants you to live with Him. And are we on board with His plan for us? It's not our plan. This is God's plan. Are we on board? Are we coming along with that? God has a plan for every one of us. And in Judges chapter 13, we can see the plan God had for Samson. Judges 13. And I'm going to be doing a little bit of reading, but I don't think it'll take too long. I'm going to skip through parts of this. Samson, he gets about 4 pages in the Bible. So we're going to skip through that. And I want to just talk about his life a little bit. And I'll probably do a bad job at it. There's so much I'm going to probably, and hopefully you get something out of it that I don't even touch. The Word of God's alive. And let it speak to you as you read through here. It says in Judges 13 about Samson. And God had a plan for him, and God has a plan for us. And that's what I want us to think about as we read this. Think about whatever hits you, really. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistine for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, who of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from his womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And we'll skip forward. Remember, the husband said, she told her husband, the husband said, well, I didn't hear this, and he wanted the angel to come. The angel comes back, and they did a sacrifice, and so on. And it says in verse 24, the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zoar and Eshtaol. Chapter 14, Samson went down to Timnah. And Timnah was that was a little town just to the west of Jerusalem. I'm thinking about 25 miles west of Jerusalem, the little town of Timnah. It was in the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan was just to the west of Jerusalem. They went all the way out to the coast. And so this was a town in Israel. This was not Philistine country here. And so for whatever reason, he sees a daughter of the Philistines. Verse 2, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of my brethren, nor among my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. And his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now I'll just say a little bit something here. You're going to reach your full potential, you young men, you young ladies. Don't mess with somebody generally for a life partner that is of the world. And don't go against your parents' counsel. Generally, you're asking for a lot of trouble. Generally, you will not reach your full potential. Generally, okay? Anyway, but in this case, I want you to notice that this was of God because he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines, see? So he's going to rile them up. Anyway, this worked out good. We'll keep reading. And then Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson... Samson made their feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, I will give you the 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. But if ye cannot declare it to me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that we may declare unto, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost hate me and lovest me not, and hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father, nor my mother. Shall I tell it to thee? And she wept before him 7 days. While the feast lasted, it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and he told the riddle to the children of the people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than the lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave the changes of raiment unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up from his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. So in this little chapter, we notice a few things. He met the woman, and he told his father and mother he wanted her. And then he went, and he had a date with her, I guess. And she pleased him well. And I'm going to compare, the Philistines are a type of the world, that's what they are. So if you're going to be friends with the world, you can just expect to see what this is. They will let you down every time. And the world speaks favorably to us as people. It really does. It promotes, and it puts its best foot forward, and it looks good. But under pressure here, these men, they threatened this woman, and I mean, we can't really blame her. It was going to be the end of her. But that reminds us of what Jesus said too. He that saves his life will lose it. Because this is what happened. We'll read further. This woman and her husband and her father were both burned. And then we'll read about that later. So you seek to save your life, and you're going to lose it. And wouldn't it have been better if this woman would have been honest with Samson and trusted him? If she'd only known the strength that this Samson had, you know, and that's the same with us in our troubles. You know, communicate, don't walk in fear, bring it out in the open, whatever that is, if you're scared of something. Tell God about it. You can't imagine the strength God has. Anyway, and as it wound up, he's angry and his wife gets given away to someone else. So a little bit of a, that's part of the story, I guess. I'll keep reading here in chapter 15. But it came to pass within a while after the time of the wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife. I'll maybe skip forward. He went back to visit his wife, and she was given away. And so Samson, he gets 300 foxes. And so I don't know how many trappers are out there among us. If you're a trapper, imagine Well, you get 50 or 60 pelts, you think you do good in the season. Well, he gathered up 300 and he tied their tails together, put a firebrand between the two tails and let the firebrand turn them loose. There's 150 pairs running everywhere and they can cover a lot of ground in a hurry. You know? And so the Philistine says, who's done this? Well, Samson did this because his father-in-law gave his wife to somebody else, and that's when they came up and they burnt her and her father with fire in verse 6. And Samson, so remember this town of Timnath is in Israel country, right? And so Samson's living probably close by, and the Philistines come up and they took revenge on his father-in-law. And Samson, in verse 7, said unto them, though I have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, that and after that he will cease. And he smote them, hip and thigh, with a great slaughter. So there's this group that came up and got rid of his father-in-law. Samson killed them. And then the Philistines were really mad. In verse 9, they went up, pitched in Judah, spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, for to do to him as he has done to us. And then 3,000 men of Judah went up to the top of the rock, and they said to Samson, knowest thou not the Philistines are ruler over us? What is this that thou hast done to us? And he said unto them, as they have done to me, so have I done to them. And anyway, they took and delivered him to the Philistines. They promised not to kill him. And once they had delivered him, it says in 14, he came to the Lehi. The Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burned in the fire. They were just a little bit of ashy puff. They just fell right off of him. And his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And he was really thirsty there after that. And God clave an hollow place in the jaw. And I'm not sure how it all worked, but he got water from the jawbone. And it was a wonderful display of God's strength. You know, this is a man that had the Spirit of God in him, right? Which is something we talked about in Sunday school class as well. We all have the Spirit of God. We can reach out, and through being born again, we can receive God's Spirit into our heart. We can do that. And so that's what... We can't realize the potential. It's hard for us to. Of where we can go because of we have... Or what power God gives to us because of His Spirit. And then it doesn't seem, this is where it seems like Samson, the tide kind of changes for Samson a little bit. And this is, the rest of his story seems a little sad to me. It really is sad. His friendship with the world hindered his potential. And there's a moral decay happens. In verse 20, he says it, of chapter 15, he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So he was a leader. Everyone looked up to him. But then we see him in 16. There's moral decay. And when a leader has moral decay, it reaches chaos. It's just, you can't have that at all. Anyway, he thought he could go somewhere else. He went down to Gaza, and saw an harlot, went in under her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and carried them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now Hebron is 45 miles to the east of Gaza. But here's an example of the power of God, the potential, because of the Spirit of God working in Samson. He demolished your city gate. He lifted it clear off and carried it. And I looked at that country on Google Earth, and I couldn't really tell which hill it might have been. There's hills all around. It's mountain country there by Hebron. But Hebron is at 3,000 feet elevation, Gaza's at sea level, and he packed them gates. I don't know what they weighed. At midnight, he gets up and he carries them away. Let's say they were 1,000 pounds. They might have been 2,000. They might have been 4,000 pounds. He carried them on his shoulder for 40-some miles uphill. The potential Samson had. What if he would have used that to free Israel from the Philistines? What if we would use the Spirit of God and live victorious before Him? What if we could realize what we have this morning and do something with it for God's glory? And I'm just talking to myself. And afterward, now this is the downfall. And this is how it goes for us. We need to always be really, really careful, because when everything's going good and we have the victory in our life, we're living pure and clean, we love everybody, and things are working in our church, things are working in our home, that's when we need to be careful. And that's where hopefully all of us are at, in victory this morning and doing well. But this is something that happened to Samson, and this is how his decay went. Verse 4, chapter 16, Judges. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, that we may give thee, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And in the next chapter, verses here, Delilah is working on Samson. She traded him in for money. And the fourth try, the fourth attempt at betraying him, she got it done. And he was shaven. In verse 20, she says to him again, she says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He woke up out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. I think Samson, he might have been a Calvinist. I think he thought the Spirit of the Lord wasn't going to ever depart from him. Now, here's an illustration of the Spirit of the Lord. It can leave you. And it did in this case. They're very sad. And when that happens, you will be weak. You will be helpless. And you will be a victim. And there is, that's pretty near the end of you. They could have pretty much done whatever they wanted to with him. I think they could have even killed him. But they didn't. Verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Now the prison houses in those days, if I understand history right, they were horrible places. It was slave labor, and they'd work them so hard. And I guess, if I understood right, and the story's accurate, when they died, they didn't bury them. When their workers died, they tipped off their seat or off there wherever they were working, and they just let them rot right there. So the stench was vile. The whole place was horrible. Horrible place to work. And of course, that's if I understand history, and if that's, I don't know, it doesn't say that here in this passage. But that's where he's at. He's grinding. And he's blind, and he's miserable, he's tormented. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together for to offer great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that led him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. And that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and upon which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. So what do you think? You got mixed feelings if you're like me. You look at it and you go, yeah, he did good. Yeah, I wouldn't have done any better. But man, he could have done so much more. That's what I think. Is that how our story is going to go down? Yeah, he grew up in a good home. Yeah. He married a good wife. Man, he could have done better. We got it handed to us, my friends. Maybe you didn't have a good home. Maybe you didn't have the best upbringing. But look at what you do have. Turn back with me. I got a few more verses for us in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, I just love how John writes comforting words. Comforting words. Words that help you see straight, put your life in perspective. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Okay, verse 1. Be born again. Are you born again this morning? Maintain it. You must love God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. That's your new birth experience when you believe. And that's the boiled down version. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. You got to love God's people. And keep His commandments. And His commandments have to do with how we love God's people. That they're interconnected. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. But look at the life of Samson. He broke a few laws. He broke a lot of them. And what his wife did too. Those, when you break the law, that's grievous. That's grievous. And you could ask Samson while he was sitting there grinding without his eyes if he thought it was grievous. And he'd have said, yeah, this is bad deal. This is not good. But it looked good. He liked that woman, Delilah. And I don't know if he asked his mom and dad about that one or not, but maybe not. Maybe she was a good woman. I know money corrupts, you know, a bribe, you know. But God's commandments are not grievous. We've got to remember that's the truth. That's an absolute. It's concrete. It'll always be that way. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we want to talk about strength here. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh. And we want to be overcomers, and so often we're discouraged. And I'm just talking to myself. I get frustrated. I'm not a very good businessman. I can't get the money coming, this and that. And my relationships, you know, you struggle. You want to be a good dad. You want to be a good husband. And you want to have friends. And sometimes you don't feel like you're doing that well. But here it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So faith is the victory. Verse 5 is a question the whole way through. That's a question, the whole verse. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Is there anybody else that's going to overcome other than someone that believes in Jesus as the Son of God? And the answer is no. I have a few thoughts out of Acts. Chapter 17. This is Paul's message on Mars Hill. Acts 17, verse 22 is where this passage starts. And they had this idol to the unknown God there. They were trying to worship him. They didn't know who he was. They just had one there just in case there was one they missed. They had all these idols or altars for all the idols that they knew of, and then they had one to the unknown God. Well, we don't know who this one was. There might be one out there we don't know of. And so Paul is saying, verse 23, how they were worshiping this God ignorantly. Him therefore, him declare I unto you, he said. God, in verse 24, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with man, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all men, giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And I like verse 27. Isn't that good that he's not far? God is not far from every one of us. And he makes heaven and earth. He makes everything in there that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him. You can see all creation. You can see the power of the universe. And how do you feel after God? That was a question that I had. After seeing all that, is your heart turned to God? Do you have a conscience? Are you training your conscience towards God? Are you feeling after him? God's desire is that you find him. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. So we're talking potential this morning. For in him you live and move and have your being. Outside of Jesus Christ this morning, outside of God, we don't live, we don't move, we don't have our being. We are lost. And it's just that simple. So to get where we want to go, to become who we're trying to become like, which is Christ. We're trying to become like Christ. We want to live with him. We want to please him. That's our full potential. And this is one thing we need to keep in mind. It's in him that we live. Last part of verse 28, for we also are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. And that was the end of his sermon that you read about. But the response here in the next few verses of the people that he told this sermon to is just a short sermon. That was all. And they, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Verse 34, albeit certain men clave unto him and believed. So there's three responses. You can mock this morning. We can mock. We can say, nah, that's just far out. I've been trying to be faithful. I've been trying to walk with God, and it can't happen. I'm done. And you can mock, and there's nothing to it. Or you can say, yeah, I know that's the answer. I know that's probably what we need to be thinking about. Yeah, we'll hear you sometime. Sometime we'll do it. Sometime we'll give our hearts to Jesus. Sometime we'll
Sometime we'll straighten it out.
Yeah, it's a detail. But no. Or you could be like certain men which believed.
And they claim the truth for themselves.
It says here, they clave unto him. They clave unto, I think, Paul, but it might be referring to Jesus. I'm not sure how to read that. Anyway, they clave to the truth. Do you cleave to the truth? And the truth, by the way, is not one thing. The truth is there are many truths in the Word, but the Word is truth. Let's just put it that way. I read that somewhere, and I like that idea. The truth of this Bible here. This is what we need. This is the Word of God. This will get us home. This is the hope we have. I was reading something here in the Northern Youth Program. They sent a flyer. They sent something in the mail, and it came, and I was reading it, and I just really liked it. Thinking about potential, thinking about how we don't wind up becoming derailed like Samson did, and staying on board. And they had a really good article. Norm Miller wrote it. I want to read just a few paragraphs here. They work with a lot of discouraged natives up there in northern Canada, Ontario. And so he sees a lot of hopelessness. But if you don't have hope, you don't have any potential. You've got to have hope. Generally, we as people can endure significant difficulty if we keep hope. When we lose hope, we lose the strength to endure the challenges of the day. We are wired for hope. It is a fuel for our soul. Hope is a life giver. Hopelessness is a lie and a life taker. And that's one good thing about Samson. Remember when he was there and they brought him out to make sport for him? He hoped in God. Remember that? He prayed. And he asked God if he wouldn't please give him strength. Just this one more time. He hoped. And he prayed. Because if he'd have stayed defeated, there would have been no victory at the end like that. Anyway, we'll keep reading here. Two major hope takers are abuse and addiction. Abusers are stronger than their victims. And by the way, the devil is the ultimate abuser. He is behind every person that abuses people. Abusers are stronger than their victims and leave them feeling powerless. And that's very true. The times where we're defeated, you know. I have an anger problem I keep working on. And you know, when you keep losing, you get discouraged. You really do. And you feel powerless. Anyway, this can easily decay into hopelessness and fear. That's what it goes to. Addictions can be a hope taker as repeated failures leave one feeling powerless and afraid. Like they are the problem. Like the person himself are the problem. In order for hope to do its work, it needs to be found and fanned to life. It cannot be forced into its life-giving property. It simply must be found, protected, and never let go. For it to be found, it must be shared. Now there's an interesting, almost a riddle. How do you get hope? Well, you got to share it. You got to believe it. You got to pass it on. Have you found hope? Are you sharing it? Is your life message a beacon of hope? Freely ye have received. Are we freely giving? You see, the more hope you have, the more hope you give, the more hope you have. And that was just an interesting, very interesting article Norm Miller wrote. And he's the CEO there at Northern Youth Program. But hope. Without hope, there is no potential. We're lost. We're going to go to hell. And we're going to be there with the devil and his angels. And that's not necessary this morning. You can win. You must love Jesus.
And you must serve Him with all your heart.
And then we can live with God. We can really be something.
You know, I was thinking about a lot of us, we run these diesel pickups out here. And, you know, they don't check them for horsepower. They don't put them on the dyno at an idle. They rev them up. And when you're going down the road, you don't go down the road at an idle. And so often we feel like we're Christians. There's life there. The truck's running. And, I don't know what some of these trucks run. Maybe 400 or 500 horse, some of them. But at an idle, maybe they only have 20 horsepower. And if that's the way you feel this morning, just don't give up hope. And keep on going. Just remember that when we get where we're going, that's when we really reach full potential. That's when our engine is up and running, our turbo's spooled out, and we're moving, we're doing something. We're pleasing our owner at that point. And our owner this morning is God. He's created us to perform for Him. And we want to do that. And it's only by His grace, of course. But don't be discouraged if you're only at an idol. That's your life there. There's potential there. But keep working towards serving God with all your heart. And that's all I have this morning. Let's stand for a word of prayer.